going to have some water first. Oh, Alice, you've nicked my notes. Terrible. Yay. No. It's got me worried then. Good morning. So yeah, so obviously as you know, my name's Ricky. I came here in 2008. It's actually when I arrived in South Street Baptist Church. I came in for a session. I thought you were all a bit weird, so I legged it. But then I came back about 2 weeks later. God was really pulling me back, you know, to come in, you know, to come back to the church. So I did that, and it was the best decision I ever made. So I was baptized here. I'm glad that it's covered up so I don't fall in. But no, yeah, God is good. God is good. So I'm going to share a word with you guys today. The word I want to share is about keeping up a good fight. And I think that sometimes in our Christian walk, we come across so many battles in our lives, and we kind of don't fight with the right tools, we don't fight in the right way, and we allow the enemy to run rings around us and to give us a bit of a battering sometimes. I just want to share a vision that God gave me that brought me to bring this word. And the vision was this. I was in a boxing ring, and I was fighting, and I was actually fighting the devil. And we was going at it, was having a fight, and you know, and all this kind of stuff. And he gave me a proper beating. And I wasn't impressed with that vision, you know, getting a beating. But no, he gave me a proper beating, and I thought to myself, okay. So I carried on, you know, trying to fight. And then the next thing I know, I was on my own fighting. And I was just fighting myself. And the enemy was on the outside of the ring. He didn't even bother getting in. That's how rubbish I was at fighting. It's like I just let him beat himself up. But what he was doing, he was sitting at the side of the ring and he was chucking things in, like my past, emotions, rejection, fears. And I was just beating myself up. He didn't even need to step in the ring with me. He was just dealing with me from the outside. I wasn't impressed. But God just showed me that sometimes we're fighting battles that we don't even need to fight. And we're actually fighting things that are completely dealt with, but yet we're still fighting them. We're still giving in to them. We're still allowing the enemy to come in and use the word, give us a pounding. So that's what brought me to this word. So that's why I said keep up the good fight. Because when you fight back the enemy, it's for a good thing. It's for God. It's for Christ. It's for the kingdom. It's for his glory. It's for his will for your life. So when you give in and you go back into the corner and you start crouching in, you're no good to nobody. We have to learn to fight back, but knowing that it's a good fight. Because things that you go through, it might seem like, actually, this is a bad fight. I ain't got the strength to do this. I haven't got the energy to do this. I haven't got the willpower to do this. But these are all things that got the word you in. It ain't about you. It's about God. It's about God fighting your battles. It's about God taking over. So at the end of the day, I thought to myself, I never had another vision, but I thought to myself, I just imagined, I stepped out and I let God get in. I got out of the way and I let God in. And sometimes there's so much of us going on and we forget that we have the Almighty God who is going to deal with it for us, who will fight for us. He loves us so much and he says he will never put us to shame. But we forget sometimes. One of the scriptures I'm going to quickly read from is Ephesians 6 verse 16. I'm reading from the ESV. And it says, in addition to all these, take the Christian faith as your shield. With it, you can put out all the flaming arrows of the evil one. He didn't say some arrows. He didn't say certain arrows. He said all arrows. All arrows. So sometimes, before we get in the ring, we have to realize, have we trained enough for this fight? Have we been in our word? Have we understood who God really is? Have we been in prayer fighting? Because I tell you this, we do the best fighting we ever do is on our hands and knees. That's the best battle. We get on our hands and knees and we fight in prayer. That's where the real fight is us on our hands and knees praying to God. That's the real fight. But have we trained enough? Do we really understand the Word of God? Do we understand what the Word of God really means to us today in 2017? This ain't a book that's gone out of fashion. This is the best-selling book even today. You know? It's not going out of fashion, and we need to apply it to our lives. It's a bit like me, because I'm quite pal. Going to... My nan heckles me, by the way. So if you have a bit of a heckle, it's me nan. But no, do you know what? It's a bit like me going to Spain or Nigeria, Ghana, I've been to these countries, bringing my sun lotion with me, which is normally about factor 50, because that's how much protection I need. Going out in the sun, laying down, putting it beside me, not applying it, and then start complaining that I've just been burnt. Don't make no sense. You see, with the Word of God, it has to be applied to your life. It has to be applied. And that's what we do. We go out in these battles and we don't apply the Word of God to our lives. And we forget and we leave it on the side. There's no place for it to be. It needs to be in our lives. It needs to be walked out. And it's a bit like me. And I've got a young son. I've got two boys. Jacob, who's nearly four. Jude is about 1.5. And it's a bit like me putting my son Jacob in the ring with Muhammad Ali. There's only going to be one winner. Me, because I'm going to step in and help him. No. There's only going to be one winner. That's Muhammad Ali. Why? Because he's in the wrong ring. He's in the wrong battle. He hasn't been trained. Doesn't understand. He's not ready, you know. And that's where we have to prepare ourselves for the battle. Prepare ourselves for the fight. And it's in here. Everything you ever needed is inside this book. So, what are we fighting for? And what are we fighting with? Which things are the enemy is throwing at you today that's making you want to throw in the towel? What's he chucking into our lives? What is he doing that's making us that, you know, we want to give up? We don't really want to continue down this road. It's a hard walk, this Christian walk. Do you know what? Pastor Matthew, and this is my pastor here as well, my senior pastor is here. Chris is one of the deacons, and I've got my beautiful family on the road behind coming to support me today. But it's a bit like Pastor was teaching us the other day that, do you know what? There's so many people in the Christian world who've been fooled. They really believe that this is the beautiful road. White rabbits, flowers, fresh air. Wonderful. Lovely. But what they forget to tell you is there's an enemy that's prowling around that side that's looking to take you out. He's not going to muck about with you. He's not going to go, it's 12 o'clock Saturday afternoon, I can't bother. He's on you 24/7. He wants to take you out. And you know what? Sometimes he gets his results. We've seen it. We've seen it. He gets his results. Do you know what? He's not going to sit back and just, you know, go along and say, oh. We are the biggest problem right now for the enemy. The biggest problem. You're his biggest problem. Why? Because you bring the truth. You bring life. You bring hope. You bring restoration. You bring freedom. You bring all these things. That's why you're the biggest problem right now on the earth is you. And he don't like you very much. I don't like him either. Go on. Get in the ring. No, I'm just kidding. But it's the truth. We're his biggest problem. And you know what? When people have got problems with you, they let it known, don't they? You know, they don't just sit there and go, he's got a problem. They tell everybody, you've got a problem. Yeah, he's got a problem. Yeah. I don't like it. No, do you know what I mean? You know, and he, you're the biggest problem. Two of my biggest battles, I would probably say in my life, was one was rejection. So a little bit about me, just briefly. I grew up in Thamesmead, which is southeast London, but it's a bit further down. It's borderline Kent in some scenarios. When you grow up, it's harder to say you're a South East London boy rather than, oh, I'm a Kent boy. It's a bit, I'm just kidding. But my postcode was SC, by the way. Yeah, it was SC. I'm not kidding. But do you know what? I grew up as this child who, you know what, got involved in so many stupid things. Drug dealing, selling drugs to people. Doing all this crazy stuff, you know, having guns pulled out on me. Robbed at knife point in broad daylight by people that used to eat food off my table. And you look back and you think, what was I doing? But do you know what? I just wanted to be accepted. And one of my biggest issues was rejection. Hated it. I felt so rejected. And I used to get it confused sometimes with maybe like jealousy or something. I wasn't too sure. But the root of the problem was rejection. And Pastor Matthew kindly dealt with that and helped me out with that one. With a bit of a beating. One of those, you know. But no, do you know what? And it was destroying my future. It needed to be dealt with. I remember when I used to tell my testimony, I'd always get tearful because there was raw pain attached to it. But I remember one day when after we sat down and dealt with this rejection thing, I went and did my testimony in a church in Southwest London. And I enjoyed it. And I didn't enjoy it because of what I did. That wasn't enjoyment. I enjoyed the fact that, wow, this is what God did. This is what God has done. And my second biggest problem was gambling. And I realized gambling was a part of the rejection thing, because for me to be able to deal with my thoughts and my emotions and everything like that, I was in there with my machine. And all my problems was outside the door, you know. But the second day, turned the lights off, because I was one of the ones, last ones to leave. I'd call in sick because I needed to gamble. That's how bad it was. Even to the point I was working for a company, I better not tell you in case you grass me up, that I was stealing money to gamble. You know, I got there one day and there was all these things they sent me through the post when I was living in Thames. It was like this bet, that bet, and it added up to about 2,800. And the first thing, because I wasn't a Christian, obviously, I sat and I think, they missed two out. Ooh. You know, I was really happy they missed that two that I got 700 for. You know what I mean? And that was my mindset. But that's how bad the gambling was, you know. And obviously, yeah, I've been set free, man. You know, I'm not going to lie. You do that. You have these little, in a 9-year journey. Have I never ever gambled since that night? No, I have. Yeah. But years ago, long times ago, you know, there were just mad moments. But this was because I was learning how to fight. I was learning that anger about every time something goes wrong, I have these temptations to gamble, because it was a part of me. It was a part of who I was, and it was coincide. So they were my biggest issues. And the enemy will always throw countless attacks. The meaning of the word warfare, acts undertaken to destroy or undermine the strength of another. See, the enemy wants to what? He's taking acts undertaken to destroy, to undermine, and to take the strength of another. So he wants to undermine us. He wants to defeat us. So what are darts is he throwing today? Depression. There's a big hoo-ha about depression today. But you know what? I've been hit with that dart before. I stand here and say I've been on antidepressants before. Yes, I'm no longer on them. Glory to God. But we've been here. Fear. Anxiety. Guilt. Shame. You see, when you become a Christian, all of a sudden your past becomes a bit shameful. It doesn't have the highlights of what you had before, the feeling of, you know, laughing, joking, you didn't really care what anybody thought. But when God gets inside of here, all of a sudden, it's a feeling of shame. But the Lord says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation, but the enemy knows there's no condemnation. But he still wants you to feel condemned. Still wants us to feel condemned. Still wants us to think about our past. Still wants us to almost like walk down with our heads down like this. Yeah, I did do that. God saw everything. If anyone knew everything, it was God anyway, and he still sees everything I'm going to do in the future. But yet, his love would never change. never change. So, lust. And a big one, pride. Sometimes our pride gets the better of us. We're prideful because we feel that, well, no, I'm a certain status. You know? Jesus Christ dealt with everybody that had a bit of pride. He was there in all those moments where we would probably have legged it on the other side. But Jesus was there. Jesus had never had no pride. But yet the Bible says what? To be Christ-like. You can't be Christ, but you can be like him. You can be like him. You can't be him, but you can be like him. And pride kills so many Christians. I'm telling you, takes them out left, right, and center. Before a fall, there was what? Pride. You didn't fall over and pride hit you on the top of your head. You already had the pride before you fell. So we know the things we need to deal with. So what action are we going to take as Christians? To what? To destroy the works of the enemy? To undermine him and his warfare that he's chucking at us? What are we going to do about it? Are we just going to sit there and just let him all the time? Are we going to get that shield and hold that shield up? We're going to block those darts and tell him, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. If God is for me, nobody can be against me. Greater is he. But we forget that sometimes. When the darts are coming, do you know what? If in 2016, up and we're in now 2017, in May 2016, so much stuff happened. Stuff I didn't think I would have to ride out and understand, and, you know, job changes and, you know, house change, all these different things. And you know what? And Pastor came with me. There was one of my best friends. We were friends, still friends now, since we were 5 years old, and I'm 21. 36. But we've been friends. And you know what? His son got a brain tumour, and all my children call him Uncle Ronnie. All his children call me Uncle Ricky. No matter what, they don't get a choice. And the first day I found out he had the brain tumour, believe it or not, I was just about to preach at our old church called King's Church. And I read this message and I thought, oh my days. And I remember the Lord said to me there and then, the word of the Lord shall prevail. I thought, how do I do this? How do I do this? My friend needs me right now and I'm about to go and preach how great God is. And his son's got a brain tumour. I said, God, your will be done. So I went and I preached the word. After the service, I knelt down and I cried my eyes out like a baby. I'm not going to lie, I did. And then this whole thing was going on and off, and we felt like he was going to survive. We weren't sure. And then one day in May, I can't remember the exact date. Well, actually, he died on May the 18th, so it would have been May the 16th. They were given the news he's got 48 hours to live. And he was 4 years old. I thought, no. And I went off, Pastor took me down there because I couldn't even drive. I was like, you know, I needed to be there for him. And you know what? I never ever dreamed I was going to kiss the head of a dead four-year-old child and say to him, I'm so sorry you couldn't make it. But you know what? The old Ricky would have come away from that and said, ah! I got in my car. I said, God, because of this scenario, I need to be there for my boys. I need to be there for them. I need to be with them. I need to spend quality time with them. I need to, you know, support them. And you know what I mean? Because no matter what we go through, God is still king. He's still king. We cannot give in to the enemy, because the enemy wants to derail us from believing that he's king. That's his job. He's got a job. We've got a job. Our job is to make sure we don't allow the enemy to rule us. And he's got a job to make sure he undermines us and destroys us and takes us out. In every given scenario, every possibility he's ever going to get, he's going to chuck a dart. But we have to walk with our shield of faith. We have to walk with our shield of faith. put it up, so that the enemy can't get in. All of us will face stuff in our lives. All of us. You know, worry is a big one. People worry. My mum's motto was this: think the worst, and if it doesn't happen, you've had a result. It made sense at the time. It did make sense at the time. I can't do that no more. It's think the best, because God is in control. God's got me. God loves me. He's there for me. He's changed my whole life. And you know what? If the worst happens, he's still the best. He's still the best. So whatever life is telling us, never let it get in the way of the things that God's got planned for us. Age, colour, it's relevant. Past, relevant. You know, culture. Normally I let pastor talk on this one. But you know what? Culture. Listen, I'm not talking about sin. Your culture, I've been to Nigeria and I had a fantastic time. I've been to Ghana, amazing. Love the culture. As when I was 12 years old, my mum dated a Caribbean man, a Jamaican man. So I was grew up in that culture as well, with the music. I love it. Love it. But when culture gets in the way of kingdom, there's a problem. There's a problem. And we can't blame it on the culture. Well, it's my culture. Well, my culture was doing the stupid things I do. So I'm not going to preach to you and then go and sell some drugs around the corner. It's not going to happen. Because when God comes in, he deals with the culture. Because it's kingdom culture. Kingdom first. Now, listen, if you want to give me some jollof rice, bring it on. If you're Ghanaian, bring me some wache. Yeah. If you're Jamaican, rice, peas and chicken with some curry goat, I'm on it. 100%. But if you want to bring me something on a plate that's contrary to the word of God, you can keep it. You can keep it. I need stuff that's going to benefit me, benefit my walk. You know, and we have to deal with certain culture traits that's in us, including the British. We've got British, the British stiff, was it the stiff upper lip? I've never had one of those myself. Maybe I need to check out the pride sector. But, you know, even British culture, come on. You know, I won't go too much into it, but, you know, they like a good old beer down the pub, you know, and stuff like that. And that's fine, you know. Me and Pastor, we often go out and chat and we have a meal and we sit down together and, you know, we don't think, it's at the pub. Come on. I'm just going to read a scripture from Acts 9 and verse 4. And we're talking about Paul, and as you know, it was Saul. And at this time, it was Saul. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Listen, if anybody is doing anything to you, they are persecuting the Father. They are doing a direct attack to the Father. And you have to remember, when the enemy is attacking, it's a direct hit to the Father. Because why? He loves his creation. He made it in his image. And it's a direct hit. And that's what he was telling Saul. Why are you persecuting me? You know, there were people being murdered and, you know, put into prison at that time. But yet he told him something. Why are you persecuting me? Because those are my children. They're mine. They belong to me. So, from that day there was no excuses for Paul. Paul suffered many afflictions. But you know what? He never blamed it on who he once was. He never blamed it on the past. He never blamed it on his culture. He came from Madrid. He was so smart, Paul, that if he was here today, he would sit among other people and he would probably twist them up left, right and centre. He knew the Jewish word, knew the culture. Yet, but from that day, he knew that the kingdom of God had to prevail. Had to prevail. And he never blamed it on anything. Paul was persecuted left, right and centre. And he never turned around and said, oh, don't persecute me. He knew what was going on. He knew what was happening. And it was for the greater future of the kingdom of God. And we praise God that we're in a country right now we can sit in church Sunday morning. And we can praise our God. We can give him the glory. You know, I was I work in a prison, ironically, and I work with people that have drug and alcohol problems. I went on a course about self-harm. And it was ironic because they said during this thing, and it really hit me, and he said, the perfect storm comes their way and it causes them to do what they do. And the enemy thinks he's bringing you the perfect storm to derail you. He thinks he's bringing you the perfect storm. Bereavement, have some of that. Financial worries, have some of that. Do you know what? I combined them together, give you both at the same time. And he thinks he's bringing you the perfect storm. But you know what? There's only one person in this whole universe who makes every storm still. Every storm still. There's no storm that you are going to face that the enemy can that the enemy is going to bring that God can't steal. And he will steal it before the enemy's eyes. Before the enemy's eyes, he will steal the storm. I'm telling you, the storms we go through are for one thing, to strengthen us to our future. Strengthen us to our future. We believe in Jeremiah 29:11, yeah? For God said he's got plans for us. Good plans to prosper us. We're his people. You know, he wants to prosper us. And you know what? If we believe in that, the storm is just a storm. I'm not going to ride it out. I'm going to let God ride it out for me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go home. I'm going to put my feet up. I'm going to give him glory. I'm going to read my word. I'm going to pray. And I know he will come through. 100%. 100%. Not 99.9. 100%. And I've seen it in my own life. Even recently. Seen it. You know? Talking about your car. My car blew up on the motorway. The turbo. I had a Saab that I was blessed with by a pastor. And I loved that car. It made me look good. I'm just kidding. But I loved that car. And it blew up on me, didn't it? The turbo on the motorway, A2. And I was putting my foot down thinking, it's a bit dodgy. So I was going like 45 in the slow lane. People going, beep, beep. The turbos blew up. You know what I mean? And then somebody else in the church, and I put a thing up just to say, oh, this car blew up, blah, blah, blah. Same night, God used someone to bless me with £1,000 to get a new car. Same night. And I didn't like think to myself that it was going to happen that quick. But God knew I've got 2 children, I've got to get to work and all the rest of it. You know, now, although, you know, I do like my car. I do. But it's a Picasso. Xera. Citroën. It's French. No, I'm joking. But I was like, it makes me look like a dad. It makes me look like a dad. I am a dad. It makes me look like a dad. So I call it my dad car, but I love it. So he tries to bring the perfect storm. And you know what? Christians were facing 2 battles. And I got this off an Anglican leader in the prison, which I thought was awesome. He says, one, First battle is to take the ground. We need to go out and take the ground. We need to take the ground off the enemy, and we need to do it quick. And the second battle you will face is to hold the ground during the counterattack. He's not going to say, take it, go and have it. You fight for the ground, you go out and you take the ground. And then you prepare yourself for the counterattack. You prepare yourself. Whatever he chucks at you, you become resilient because of God. It'll be down days. Have I shed a tear in 2017? Yeah, I have. I've shed many tears, even in 2017. But you know what? Hold my ground. And here I am, still holding my ground, still fighting, still, you know, sometimes sit there. I do. I've sat there and said, God, come on. Come on. You know, give us a little breakthrough. And you know what? Every time that breakthrough ended up coming, it was always better than what I expected. Always. Romans 7. Verses 21 to 25. So I found it to be law that when I do want to do right, evil is close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with the flesh I serve the law of sin. But you know what I love about Paul? He's a realist. He's real. And he recognizes that whenever he wants to do what is good, evil is right beside him. And he recognizes that. And I love that about Paul. As I said earlier, he's not there singing, it's all white rabbits and lovely roses and green pastures green. And it's going to be, you know, he recognizes it. Because the fact that he recognizes it is the fact that that's how he's going to deal with it. How can you deal with stuff you don't recognize in your life? You need to recognize your weaknesses. You need to recognize your faults. And then deal with them in the power of God. In the power of God. He knew what was right beside him. He wasn't silly. First Peter 5, verses 8 to 10. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, shield of faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Not being funny, you ain't the only one. You ain't the only one. It's not a me show. You're not sitting there saying, oh, only I've been through this. You're not the only one. The word says you're not the only one, so therefore you're not the only one. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore you, confirm you, strengthen you, and establish you. Himself. He doesn't want anybody else to get the glory. He wants it. It's his glory. What we do is for his glory. So when you're in a position in work and somebody's being rude and whatever, you're going to be polite. Not because you're weak. Not because people are going to think that, oh yeah, we can have her over, have him over. Because you think, you know what? In this situation, God will get the glory in it. And then he will strengthen you. He will restore you. He will confirm you. He will establish you. Don't you want God to be the one to do that? Because he's the only one who's going to do it the perfect way. If only man was the only one who's going to restore me or confirm me and all the rest of it, and I find my place in my positions and in my job and in my money and everything else, I'm never really going to find who I really am in Christ. Never. God will do it. And sober-minded, if in a dictionary, it says sensible. We need to be sensible as Christians. Sensible sometimes. You know, sometimes we go out with this erratic kind of like, yeah, we're going to do this, do that. But you haven't prepared yourself. You haven't got the groundwork yet. You know, yeah, we need to fight, but you need to fight in the right place at the right time when God knows you're ready, when you've been strengthened by him. We need to be sensible sometimes. Don't cut corners. Sensible. But we're not sensible sometimes as Christians. We kind of, you know, I'm just going to do that anyway. And when we're sensible, God would use that. God will see that. He will see that and say, you've seen her, you've seen him. Wow, that's what I'm dealing with. That's what I'm looking for. You know, when it comes to healing, when it comes to miracles, I'm all for that. Love it. Love it when I see miracles happen in people's lives. Love it when I see people get healed by God. But you need to remember, that's God. That's God, not man, God. Now, when things really hit the fan and things are going wrong in your life and things have gone bang out there, that's when you really see if Christ is reigning in your life. That's reality. That's when you'll find out if Christ is really there. Because he is the one that would deal with it. That's when you will see it. Not when we're seeing miracles jumping up and dance and all the rest of it. Sometimes Christ needs to be evident in those situations. I'm going to quickly read a verse from Romans 4, 18 to 21. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he has been told. So shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. So sorry, we're talking about Abraham here. No unbelief made him waver. Love that. He never wavered concerning the promises of God. I'm telling you, if God has promised you something, it's going to happen. It will happen. Never waver, never worry, never waver, never worry. It will happen. Amen? But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Are we fully convinced that God's going to do what he's promised in your life? Because if you're not, you need to be fully convinced that God is able and God will do what he's promised he will do. I'm going to quickly go into another scripture just because of time. And it's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You see, faith will quench every fiery dart that is thrown at you. Faith will quench every single one. And the faith is like Abraham's. He would not waver. He was fully convinced that God will do what he said he would do. So no matter what you're going through, and no matter what you're waiting for, I stand here and declare that God will do it. Sometimes you need to fight, but in the right way, in a sensible way. Because the Christian walk ain't all about doom and gloom, obviously. It's an amazing life, an amazing miracle that we can talk directly to the Father. We can come into his presence boldly. But you know what? Sometimes you need to fight. Fighting with the conviction that God will do what God said he will do. just because of time, I want to read this last scripture out quickly. And it's from Isaiah 41, verses 10 to 13 from the ESV. And this is what the Lord is saying to us this morning. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all who are incensed against you shall be put to shame and confounded. Those who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish. You shall seek those who contend with you, but you shall not find them. Those who war against you shall be as nothing at all. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. Amazing. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you. Church, he loves us so much. He loves us so much. And it's he that's going to help us in this fight. I'm going to bring this service to a close. And remember, the Lord is our helper. He's seen everything you've been through. He's seen every disaster, every joy, every pain, every tear. And he still says, you're mine. The plan I've got to you, if only if you knew, you wouldn't be able to deal with it. And as Pastor Matthew always taught us, he's not a big flashlight into our future, but he's the light on our feet that will guide us through the journey, through the storms, and through everything we've ever encountered. In Jesus' name. Bring up the worship team. If you'd like to come up for prayer, you're more than welcome. If you feel like you want to be encouraged, and or you feel like you might be losing the battle a little bit, that's fine. We'll pray for you and with you. Because God has got such a plan for us. And I'm not just talking about going out there and having to evangelize. I'm just talking, even in your jobs, in your future. He's got amazing plans for us. He needs to plant Christians in so many different places because there's people waiting for us to tell them about the good news. But if you are struggling, you can come forward for prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. But God is good. And he is the storm stealer. Whatever storm the enemy chucks, he will come in and he will make it steal. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.